Heavenly Father, we glorify your name, Lord. As the scripture has said, we will bless the Lord at all times. Your praise, O Father, shall continually be in our mouth. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist says 7 times a day, praise all the Lord. And 3 times a day, praise and pray and pray. So we thank you. How much more this covenant based upon better promises. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we all work forever, utter your glory, the praise of your great goodness. The Bible says God's great, not just being good, great goodness. Father, we thank you. I worship you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together in fellowship again. Lord, just a little time in the world tonight. And we just ask that you bless the reading of your word. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight, by God's grace, just for a few minutes here, recognizing and stopping the real enemy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Recognizing and stopping the real enemy. More often than not, many Christians fail to recognize the identity of the force behind their problems. They see only the effect and not the cause. Put another way, many of God's people see only the surface and not the root of the problems that they face. The tendency, many times, is to blame other people or the circumstances of life that they are facing. So yet, the Bible has not left us in darkness as to who the villain or the villain or the culprit is, meaning the devil, So Ephesians 6:12, one of those scriptures that give us life of whom we are really dealing with. Not that person over there, not even the circumstances itself, but Satan himself. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So the Bible lays open for us. So all those entities named in that verse, of scripture are under one personage, meaning Satan. See? There can be somebody just Satan. He overrules all those people, oversees them and things like that, Another scripture makes this even clearer, wherein it speaks of our adversary in singular. He didn't call it adversary, he said adversary, And that is in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, take that good adversary there. That is chiefly that is one adversary, one enemy, the real enemy, Satan and some of that, The devil, and he named him right there, As a roaring lion, he says, walketh about, seeking whom he might devour. So the devil is the mastermind behind every evil act that takes place upon this planet. Right from the beginning, the garden and so on, and right to the end, you see, at the end of the age, the greatest evil of all time, the Satan's mastermind, the dragon, see, the beast, the false prophet, and so on, the triumvirate of evil at the end of the age. So, but God said, don't pay too much attention. They look at individuals and so on, that where the divine enemy, Bible has named to us and so on, that So anyway, so he's behind every things like disappointment, robbery, or whatever. One way or the other, Lucifer, the devil, is behind it. Should we then not be afraid of Satan because of all these things? No. Not according to God's word. So, for the scripture tells us that when the Lord rose from the dead, he stripped the devil and his demons of their power and made an open display of their defeat. Colossians 2:15, whatever it says that, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Even see in Colossians 1:13 that we are not under his rule, meaning the devil and so on. In Colossians 1:13, who, meaning the Lord Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So, but the Christian must know this truth as well, that you know, so that it's not deceived, you know, like many other scriptures admonish us. So, our action point, we have an action point. The Lord has done all those things for us, right? But you and I have an action point. What is it? It's that it's also said that in scripture, you know. So the Lord defeated the devil for us, but we have a part to play. And they are stated in many scriptures. I give two of them. 1 Peter 5:9. Whom, meaning Satan, resist steadfast in the faith. That's an action point for all God's children, right? God defeated him for us. God defeated him for us, but we have a part to play. So whom resist steadfast? Meaning, he is having to come and go. Even at the temptation of Christ in Luke chapter 4, we were told that after the whole thing, he departed for a season, right? Which means he came back later, right? So the same thing, so if you just do it one time, the Bible says steadfast, right? Which means you come often and often again. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Steadfast in the faith, so as you know. So, and the same thing we are told in the book of James chapter 4, the 4th verse. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. And look at the next verse. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God has already drawn a line for him. All in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Great Commission, he even told us what to do. The very first thing he told us in the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16 was, in my name, they shall cast out devils, right? They put it first. And then he comes to say that they will speak in new tongues. They will handle serpents and things like that, you know. Anyway, so we are not at the devil's mercy and so on. We are being given authority over him. So, but many a time, he camouflage himself. I kind of trick God's people to be looking the other way, you know, or looking at the wrong places, you know, while he continues his malicious works. To identify Satan as a true source of many of our troubles, will help us to stop it, or to stop him, you know, to help. Even in the creation, the scripture says in Genesis 1:31 that, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Even Satan himself was made perfect. He was good when God made him. Now the Bible said in the book of Ezekiel 28. So the Bible said that verse 14 says, thou art the anointed cherub that covered it. And I have said this so. Thou was perfect. See, everything that God made it was perfect. Even the devil himself was made perfect in that way. On the day that thou was created, the iniquity was found in thee. So, but from that time, from his fall, no evil entered into this universe. When Satan has them Lucifer and so forth, interfered with God's perfect creation, you know, tempting Adam and Eve to disobey God, thereby introducing sin to the world. We notice that even Adam, from the beginning, didn't even know. Talking about identifying the true, you know, as stopping, you know, the real enemy. Adam himself did not even know, or understand rather, the source of their sin. He didn't know it. He put a blame on somebody else, his wife. That's what he did. And it's a common thing today too. The same thing, it seems to be the same trick today, you know. He'll be looking, make it so tricky to look at other way, so that he can camouflage himself. What did Adam say in Genesis 3:12? Well, talking to his wife. And the man said, the woman whom thou gave her to be with me, she gave me gave me of the tree. And I did it. See? So Adam didn't even know the source of where the trouble was coming from. But his wife knew it. After all, he was from here. So the wife put the blame where it belonged. Yes? She named the culprit, or the villain, as they call it, meaning the serpent, you know. And that's what he said in, as the evil fall behind the fall. Genesis 3:14, the ability in the next verse. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent begat me. So he nailed it on the head right there, you know, who the culprit is, who caused all these things and so on. I did it. So God did something as soon as Eve, God knew that he identified the culprit, you know, and the guilty party. God was immediately able to bring judgment upon upon Satan and so on, the serpent, and deliverance to Adam and Eve. Next verse says so, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou hast caused above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his seed. So, clearly, as soon as God saw that, okay, now, if identified this, then now this is devil and so on, the Lord put the judgment right away, to the wicked one and so on. So, because if went directly to the source of the problem, God was able to bring speedily judgment upon the enemy and restoration to the false parents. He promised them a restoration right there, Likewise, today, God's word promised us deliverance and victory when we recognize the devil as the true enemy. Otherwise, you could be placed sick on you. Think that person, no. So the devil is the source of many of the troubles of God's people, not an individual or people or even the circumstances or mine, really. Like many believers today, Job did not recognize Satan as the source of his problem. Back on the book of Job, he didn't know the source of his problems. He suffered one of the greatest robberies that ever could take place. A quick look at the inventory of goods stolen from Job in one day tell all the story. I just paraphrased them in Job 1:3. Look at the inventory of what was stolen from him in just one day. He didn't even know the source of what happened to him. He couldn't identify the source. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. Gone in one day. See? Stolen from this man. So, in addition, all his children died. And of all of his many servants, only four escaped. And you know why Satan let him to escape? So he can send the evil report to Job, right? No, that's why. To let them to go and publish his evil act, right? So, wicked thing, isn't he? I'm going to let you know. And Job didn't know any of these things initially, So, now, the question may be asked as to, who received the blame? initially, Job not knowing what was happening and so on. Who received the blame for this reign of terror? Well, they are all listed in the same book, that first book of Job, the 15th verse of chapter 1 of Job, blames the Sardians for taking the oxen and the asses and killing some of the servants. The 16th verse lays the blame on the fire of God. Can you imagine? For burning up the sheep and more of the servants. This accusation is significant in that even today, many people still like to blame God for the loss of their goods, even across the globe and so on. For example, you had insurance policy, maybe you have had insurance policy before, you got to have insurance policy, right? And commonly, they make allowances for liability in the event of so-called act of God. They call it act of God. Anything in nature and so on, hurricane, or they call it act of God. Can you imagine? Accusing God. So you see, it's right there. And all the insurance companies do that kind of thing and so on, So blaming God so they interpret every destructive or harmful incident of nature as something that God has caused, So of course the 17th verse goes on to accuse the Chaldeans of taking the camels and slaying some of the servants. The 18th and 19th verses blame a great wind from the wilderness for the death of the children of Job. Then the 6th through the 12th verses, however, show us clearly who was actually responsible for Job's losses. For example, the 12th verse says, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself, put not forth thy hand. So we know God is revealed there, the culprit, the villain, you know, of these atrocities and so on was Satan. And we are told that God gave Satan the authority to test Job. We know that. So understanding this fact, we help God's people all the time. And you know, we make it clear that the real villain or culprit, you know, in Job's life was the devil. He took control of everything that Job had, and he motivated all the robberies that we hear of right there, and the murders. He did it. The Sabians and the Chaldeans may have done it. They're just ordinary agents in the hand of the devil. That's what it was. But it was Satan himself who masterminded Job's losses. It's not different today what God's children suffer in most cases, you know. Scripture is clear that God did not cause the destruction that came to Job. Wait, no, not God. Even though Job himself did not even understand this, because in verse 21, here it was, good old Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken. Thought it was the Lord, you know. He was wrong, you know. So, but despite that, I mean, but he already said, I will keep my integrity, right? Blessed be the name, you know, of the Lord. That's what he said. Even though he was wrong, it seemed like it's God who took. God didn't take anything from you. Praise God. So, and even the children of God today, going through something, they will think it is the Lord, because they're not knowledgeable of Scripture, you know. So, they're not recognizing the real enemy, you know, or their circumstances. So, when God's children understand the importance of identifying the source of each problem and learn to use our God-given authority, the real enemy of our lives, we have to cease its destructive activities around us. It can be stopped. All in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, well, he was used, to go to the bottom part of things, the root of things, not the surface, like many people are always doing. We can name a few examples right here. There was written in Luke chapter 13, a story of a woman that was 18 years in affliction, you know. Bible says in Luke 13 that we are told that this woman had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise even lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, we are showing how the Lord will go to the bottom of things, you know. Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity, the Lord said. And then he laid his hands on her. Immediately, she was made straight and glorified God. Now, in the rebuke, the Lord gave the ruler of the synagogue, who was protesting this healing because it was done on a Sabbath day, you know. The Lord began to rebuke him, and the Lord revealed the cause, the root cause of what happened to that woman. And, that the Lord said, it was Satan who has bound this woman for these 18 years, right? The Lord revealed what happened to that woman, the root cause of it, and so that, you know. So, that is in Luke 13:16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan, the Lord named it right here, go to the bottom of it, the root of what caused this threat to this woman, and so on. And, at band, lo, this 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And, but the other people, they didn't know that. All the religious people at that time, the leaders and so on, only saw the woman as having a physical problem. They don't know the underlying factor, what caused that thing to that woman. They didn't know it. The Lord looked at the root cause of the woman's infirmity. He recognized a spiritual problem and deemed it appropriate to handle it on the Sabbath day. And of course, Lord, in another place, similar situation, the Lord told them, the Pharisees, even upon it all, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not only did I know the cause, I can do anything. Don't you remember David? You know, when he was hungry, the Lord told him how he took the shoe bread that only the priest could eat. Not only did he do it, he said, gave it to the other people that were with him, you know. So the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Plus, he rebuked them as well that, you know, he showed them the identity of what happened to that man, or the devil. See? Now, so another instance in the Lord's ministry and so forth, identify the true source, the true enemy, even in his own ministry. He always saw below the surface. The Lord always did. So he was never taken off guard at all. What is even surprised when one of his disciples called Judas betrayed him? This was Judas, a disciple from the beginning, who personally witnessed most of the Lord's miracles. And scripture even implies that even he himself performed miracles, as the Lord said them, and so on. In Matthew 10:1, we are told, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, Judas was there, you know, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So that's why the intimate relationship between the Lord and these disciples, Judas followed the devil to get control of his mind and then turn him against the Lord. However, the Lord was aware of the root cause of this subversive behavior of this disciple. And so he knew before the word began. Bible said he knew he would betray him, right? He knew all things anyway. So, and you know, for he knew Satan motivated Judas' unfaithfulness. And because the Lord said in John 6:70, all we go to the root of what he knew, the enemy, the real enemy, and so on. In John 6:70, I have not chosen you 12. And one of you is a devil. So he always goes to the root, not the surface, and so on like that, you know. So, and another case, you know, how the devil, you know, the Lord, saw him working on another disciple, this time one of the closest disciples. You know, he has all kind of different levels of interaction with this disciple. They are the inner circle, you know, Peter, James, and John, right? Out of the inner circle, Peter, in Matthew 16:21, from that time, the Bible says, forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke the Lord, saying, be far from you, Lord, be far from thee. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned, the Lord turned, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savourest not the thing that be of God, but those that be of men. So to the casual observer, you know, this event would be nothing more than an attempt by a devoted disciple like Peter to keep the master from being killed, right? He had good intentions. But the Lord knew the bottom of things. Wasn't Peter talking? That Satan himself, you know, talking like that, and through this disciple and so on, you know. So ordinary people, we just think it is Peter. No. Or was he talking to Peter? No. You know, talking to the devil, the real enemy, you know, hiding behind his sins, you know, and so like that, you know. So the Lord immediately recognized that Simon Peter was not the one speaking like that and so on. Instead, Peter was an unwitting tool being used by the real enemy, Satan. So the Lord turned and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. So, and all of the dust dealing, always going to the bottom, identify the real enemy, you know. So even Peter on later, Peter now has learned a lot of things, together with the falling of the Holy Ghost and so on. Instead, he was able to do certain things like that, in that direction. So, we learn from Peter that failure doesn't have to be final in the work with the Lord. What we may fail one time or the other, even the righteous man fails 4-7 times, right? And the Lord raised him up. So, failure does not have to be final in the work with the Lord. So, we learn from Peter's case. If one had been somehow deceived by the devil in the past, it doesn't really mean that he or she is permanently disqualified from doing God's work. I mean, much more especially when they repent, right? This Peter, for example, when he denied the Lord 3 times, the Lord did not cast him aside. The Lord restored him, and later on, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the ability to recognize the work of the enemy in others. There is a biblical account in Acts chapter 5, I believe it is, you know, of Ananias and, you know, and Sapphira and so on. And we can talk briefly about that, how he identified the real source of the lie that was told. The Bible tells us, these people have seen Barnabas gain recognition among the disciples for giving the church all the proceeds from the sale of a property that they made. That's in Acts 4, 36 to 37. Just paraphrasing, it says, and Barnabas, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Ananias and Sapphira wanted to get the same kind of of approval from the disciples and so on, as you know. So they decided to go and sell a piece of land and donate the money to the church. However, as you know the story, Satan convinced them to lie about the price of the land. Simon Peter immediately recognized the true culprit behind them, this deception, and he named it. What did he say? It was Satan. Acts 5:3. Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Said, I don't know that you know. So Ananias and Sapphira, of course, they died as a result of deception and so forth. Now this indicates they go to another realm of the gift of the Spirit. We can say that. The discerning of spirits, right? So, but in general, God's children should take time. You might have a bit of discerning, but if you even ask the Lord before you act on anything or take decision or come to a conclusion of what is the cause of your problem, God can reveal it. That you having the gift of discerning too can do it, you know? But we are always impatient, right? We just got into conclusions, you know? So, even Apostle Paul, most of the time we recognize, you know, the enemy, the real enemy. Satan is always the one, right? So, and he was always aware of this real enemy. And he will openly state that Satan, not man, caused problems in his ministry. The devil sent, at one time, a satanic messenger to hinder him. We can name a couple of 2 or 3 places like that. 2 Corinthians 12:7. That was given to me, he said, a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. He knew the source of the problem, right? In his ministry and so on. He didn't even blame anybody, you know? He knew the source and so on. It was Satan, you know that, you know? This messenger used a number of people. Yeah, he will use people to be his tool, but the real thing is the devil, you know? A number of people to confront and hinder Paul. They were false brethren, part of them, or evil magistrates, as well as various inquisitors, questioners who question and manipulate things like that, you know. But he nailed it to the head, you know. Satan was the chief, he's the one, using those people and so on against him and so on. However, no matter what form of disguise the enemy chose, Paul discerned them and identified them as instruments of Satan. I believe God should be doing the same thing today. It will save us a lot of headaches. When Paul realized, he always went beyond the surface, keep saying that, and laid the axe to the root of the problem. For instance, in one situation, we notice who Paul blamed for his failure to visit the saints at Thessalonica. Why to go there? I couldn't go there. Who did he blame? He didn't blame the circumstances around him. That is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. We would have come unto you once and again, but Satan hindered us. See? I have to make it and go and greet them and so on and see how they are doing, something like that, you know. So he went to the root of why he was in that. Was it that he didn't blame anybody or himself or anybody like that? He hid it to his head. The devil is in these things and so on and that, you know, most of the time. Even the same Paul, and suspected that the trouble among the Thessalonians, the same people of the same church, some of the saints in India, he didn't waste time by wrestling with flesh and blood. Even though he wasn't able to visit them personally, he sent Timothy at one time to go and see, where the devil has attacked them. That is in the same book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Led by some means, the tempter, meaning Satan, tempted you. Did you mention anybody's name? Called the tempter, the devil. See? So anyway, Paul understood that Satan's interference was also the root cause of trouble with some of the widows in the early church and so on like that, you know. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, about 14 to 15 verses, and he said of the widows, give none occasion to the adversary, he said, to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside unto Satan. After Satan, you know. He always gets to the root of the problem, you know. You know, you could use people to do it, but he will just get to the root of his idea, like love you always identify. And summing it up now, you know, the Bible clearly lays the blame for the entire sin problem on Satan himself. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, he that committed sin is of the devil, but the devil sinned from the beginning. See, so it's always good for God's children to take time to recognize, and then you are able to stop the real enemy. Overcomers are those who will recognize and stop the real enemy. See. Overcomers, we have a characteristic way of realizing that Satan is the source of at least most of their problems. Another thing that we are going to have as overcomers is boldness to accuse the devil. He is the accuser of the brethren, right? But the overcomer will have the boldness, you know, to accuse the devil to his face for his past. And they will accuse him loudly, saying, Satan, I know you. You are the bottom of this problem. And so on that, you know, you are kissing to the face. Talking to the devil, yes. The Lord says, Satan, get it behind me, right? Why can't I talk to him also? Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says, that, you know, he that believeth on me, I mean, he that believe on him also walk as he himself walked, right? And what scripture, right? So, and we can do that too, but only in his name. The way we do all those things and so on that, you know. He takes authority over the devil as soon as the overcomer, right? We take authority over the devil as soon as possible, and the doors of total victory will open as we do that, you know. You have to keep on down to do this thing frequently and often and so on that, you know. Then the devil we have to restore the things he has destroyed or stolen from the overcomer or his loved ones. He will do it if you know how to bid him to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. An overcomer quits blaming others and even circumstances for his insufficiency and failures. The overcomer, you know, he will stop blaming others or circumstances for his insufficiency and failures. He is acquainted with the scripture we read earlier on in Ephesians 6:12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Against the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place, that is the overcomer. They will have that attribute, you know. See? Recognizing the enemy, the real enemy, so you can't begin to camouflage around them and dribble you here and there. No. See? The overcomer will understand that God wants to protect and help him in overcoming everything the devil is trying to do to him. See? And we know, God's children should know, God is patiently waiting for all his children to recognize the real thief, take authority over him, and make him pay Yeah, make the devil pay. Yes, yeah. Bible says so too. Yes, yeah. Make the devil pay. God's word says so. Great two scriptures right now. That when you find the real thief, he must pay you back. The Bible says so. If you not to command him to do it, right? Let's see what. Exodus 22 verse 7. If the thief be found, let him pay double. The Bible says so. See? At the mouth of two or three witnesses. Proverbs 6:31. But if he, meaning the thief, be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the sons of his house. It's in the Bible like that. Sure. If only God's children will learn how to use the authority we have in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we're talking about here. Therefore, it is time for God's children to arise, be determined, boldly, and loudly declare, you know, to the devil that they know that he is the villain, meaning the culprit, you know, so that they will henceforth no longer blame their circumstances on people or other people and so on like that, you know, for the troubles they face in life. God's children should let the devil know that they possess the knowledge of God's word enough now that will knock out and put them on top. God's people should further put him in the devil on notice that today don't even go any further, that going forward now, you know, to me that's what I want to do, that, you know, he will steal from them no more, you see, and that his days of ripping them off are over. God's people should let Satan know that they are in possession of God's word, that he, Satan, is under their feet. Demonstrate the knowledge that you know that God has bruised you under my feet, under your feet. Let him know by your actions, by what you say, you know. When he knows that you know your life, he has no other option. Got to give up. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Got to. See? He must give back everything he has ever stolen from you and me. Not only that, but, you know, he will also have to pay interest. You see? Mm-hmm. At least 200%. Up to 700%. Because that picture we read in Exodus 22, if the thief be found, let him pay double. That's 200%, right? Mathematicians are here, right? Praise the Lord. And the one we read in Proverbs 6:31, if the thief be found, he shall restore sevenfold, 700%. But you must bid him, must command him. See, nothing goes that, you don't say nothing. You know, that will command it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So, Job got 200% interest, right? That's right. He got twice, you know, in Job 42, closing up now, in Job 42:12. So the Lord blessed the end, later end of Job, more than its beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, instead of 7,000, as we read before earlier on, in the inventory that he was stealing from him. And 6,000 camels instead of 3,000 that he had before, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and so he got 200% interest. See, so and finally, God's children must remember, never to forget, the gift gave to all of his people, all of his disciples. Last scripture here is in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions, and over all, I like that. All the power of the enemy, see, and nothing shall by enemy insult you. Or to you, it's like that dominion. And he is very stubborn, right? But when you stand your ground there in the name of Jesus Christ, he has no option. Resist the devil, James 4:7. He will flee. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This we have to do all the time. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All over the scripture we see, identify the real culprit, the real villain. You know, will help us a lot and put him at bay. We need Satan. You know, the beginning of all evil. So tonight, Lord, help us, God's children everywhere. We are living in perilous times now. All the evil in this world began from him. And it will end with him too. You know, declaring and say that he is God in the temple of God. You know, And the whole world will wonder after the beast at the end of the age when he has deceived, the Bible says deceived the whole world. Of whom he really is and so on that, you know. So Lord, we thank you for giving us power and authority over all the powers of the enemy. David said, teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Ours is not with arrows that he used. The weapons of our warfare in this dispensation are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of any kind of a stronghold of the devil. Not afraid of you. You have been bruised under our feet by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are on top through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be our eye opening, Lord, all over the world where God sends our Lord. They know that, Lord, they have the mastery over all the works of the devil in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church triumphant, be it my church, the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, thank you. We want to heed the Lord's admonition, your purpose for us, and your will for us to be overcomers. He that overcometh, as I also overcome. In every church age, that is, a promise. Walk with me in white in one place. Give him a stone, white stone. And he received the name written in this which no other person knows, but he that received it. And all of these wonderful things, Lord, will go. Rule the law with, you know, with a rod of iron. Lord, we thank thee, Father. It's worth more than living for Lord. All this that is coming to his elect in not too distant future. The ageless, age of ages belongs to us dealing with Christ. So Lord, we go tonight, Lord, just a refreshing, a reminder, a reminding us to be cognizant of the wicked one and let him never take advantage of us. No anymore. This we pray for ourselves and all of the children of God. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.